In this series from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, we're dealing with the Beatitudes. Beatitudes. And I'm calling the first sermon God's Help Steps, God's Steps to Spiritual Health. We have a list of 18 areas where we are commonly unhealthy, where you will find them, where we find them out of balance in our lives. You'll find them in your bulletin insert. I'm not going to go over them right now, but let me encourage you to underline the areas on that list that you struggle with. See, I don't know if they're on the screen. I guess not. So ask yourself, which of these areas are unhealthy in my life? And if I haven't listed yours yet, you can write it. I think I left a blank there, so you can write it in there. Maybe it's perfectionism, or maybe it's anger or resentment, the drive to always be in control. We all have unhealthy areas in our lives, every one of us. But the solution, the steps to getting healthy again, are the same. They are principles that we find in the Bible. But specifically, they are in the first 8 statements by Jesus Christ in his most famous sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. And we call these 8 statements the Beatitudes. Beatitudes. These are not just principles for healthy, godly living, but they're the steps that we take in order to be able to live healthy. They are to be attitudes that we will model in our everyday living. We're going to look at how to get spiritually healthy again in the next several weeks. And Father, as we can begin that today, that you will help us to understand more fully than ever before where it is that we need your touch, where we need your health in our lives. Help us to understand that, and help us to be willing to admit it and seek you for the help that you give to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The first step to be spiritually healthy is the first beatitude of Jesus in Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. One paraphrase says, blessed are those who recognize they are spiritually helpless. Spiritually helpless. What does that mean? It means if I want to get healthy again, I have to realize I am not God. Now you say, oh, everybody would admit that, but we act like we are. I need to admit that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do what I know is unhealthy. Like the Apostle Paul said in Romans 7, 18 and 19, in the Living Bible paraphrase, things I know are right to do, I don't do. And the things not healthy, I do anyway. To make this clear, I have another quiz for you. Have you ever stayed up late at night when you know that you needed sleep? Have you ever consumed extra calories when you know you shouldn't have? I'm not going to raise my hands because I'm going to raise them for everything, I think. Have you ever made commitments you know you couldn't possibly keep? Have you ever felt you ought to exercise but you didn't? Have you ever tried to control something but discovered that you could not? Welcome to the human race. The Bible has a word for this tendency to not do what I know is healthy, and the tendency to do the unhealthy, even though I know it's bad for me. God calls this my sin nature. My sin nature, and we all have this. What it means is I often do self-destructive things, even though I know they're bad for me. They're bad for my health, they're bad for my life, they're bad for my relationships, and we still do them. And the other things that are good for me, those things we don't do. We tend to respond to hurts in ways that actually prolong the hurt rather than taking it away. We tend to treat people in ways that backfire on us. Instead, we get the opposite of what we desire from that person. In trying to fix a problem, I sometimes make the problem far worse. I try to fix something that isn't working well, but it ends up not working at all. The Bible calls this my sin nature. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to man, but it ends in death." You're always going to have this old sin nature for you, with you in this life. It's always going to be something, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, a believer or a non-believer, here on earth, we're always going to have to fight against this old nature. You're going to battle it all of your life. Paul wrote, "I don't understand myself at all, for I really want to do what is right, but I can't. I do what I don't want to do, what I hate. I know perfectly well that what I'm doing is wrong, but I can't help myself." Does that sound familiar? It's a common experience. The right things we want to do, we end up not doing. And the things we know are wrong, we still go right ahead and do them. So we're looking at what's behind most of our problems. Then we'll look at the consequences. Finally, we'll look at the cure in step one to spiritual health. You see, the cause of most of our problems is summarized in two words, playing God. Playing God. When I try to play God, it causes all kinds of problems, especially in my relationships. I play God when I want to call my own shots, when I want to make my own rules, when I want to put myself at the center. That's the case. I don't want to just control my own life, but I want to control yours too. Because I think I know what is better for you more than you do. I want to be in control. And it causes all kinds of problems. This is man's oldest problem, trying to be God. When Adam and Eve were in Eden, the devil tempted them, and he said, "Eat this, and you'll be evil." No, he didn't say that. He knew what would happen if they truly ate it. But he said, "If you eat this fruit that God told them not to eat, you will be like God. You'll be like God." And Adam and Eve really liked the sound of that. Ever since, people have been playing God. It's no different today. But here is something we do. We make choices and decisions that imply that we are wiser than God. "I know God says to do this, but I'm going to do that instead. I know what God says for me to do, but this will make me happy." Every day we make choices that imply that we're wiser than God, and we willfully disobey God, and we say, "I'm going to do what I think is best." That's playing God. So how do we do that? We play God in two ways. First of all, by denying our true sinful human condition. By denying our true human condition. And then secondly, by trying to control everything ourselves. The more insecure that you are in life, the more you're going to do these two things. The more insecure you are, the more you deny your problems and deny your faults and your failures. The more insecure you are, the more we try to cover up our insecurities, and the more we try to control everything ourselves. We try to control our relationships, we try to control the circumstances, and everything you can possibly control around you. The three different ways we often waste so much time and energy trying to control everything. The first one is we often deny or control our problems. We use the phrase like, I can handle this. It's not really a problem. I don't need any help. I don't need counseling. I can quit anytime I want to. I can work it out on my own. We live in denial and we try to hide and we try to control our problems. A TV repairman was asked, what's the worst damage you've ever seen in a television? He said, after people try to repair it themselves. How many times have we tried to repair something in our life and made a bigger mess of it? The second way we play God is we try to control other people. We do this all the time. Parents try to control their kids. Kids try to control their parents. Wives try to control their husbands, and husbands try to control their wives. Men try to control women, and women try to control men. Now, some of you are quite familiar with office politics and the manipulation that goes on when people try to control one another in an office situation. Each of us has our own preferred method of control. We usually learn this as we are growing up in our families. Some of us use guilt and shame to control. Some of you do the exact opposite. Some of you try to use praise and affirmation to control. Now, praise and affirmation are good. We usually don't do enough of that. But using it to control is not good. We're still trying to get our own way in that person's life through the misuse and abuse of encouragement. Then some of us use anger and the threat of temper to control a situation. Some use fear to control people. And then some of us use that all-time favorite, the silent treatment to control. Truth is, everyone has their preferred method to try to control situations and people. The other thing we try to control, we try to use to deny and control, is avoiding pain. Avoiding pain. And that only makes matters worse. Have you ever tried to slow down long enough to realize how much of your time and your energy and your effort you spend trying to avoid or postpone pain? So much of our life, and we don't even do this consciously, so much of what you do in life, the way you act, the way you respond to people, so much of that might be an unconscious attempt to either avoid or postpone pain. And it usually just makes matters worse. Again, each of us has our own favorite coping devices to deal with pain. It may be eating. It may be watching TV a lot. For many, it's sports or traveling. Perhaps withdrawing and building that protective wall of depression around you. The truth is, everyone here has their own favorite method of medicating pain. Yes, every one of us does. You have a method that you use to try to deny or control the pain in your life. That's your medication, and it has the potential to cause all kinds of problems. If the cause of our problems boils down to playing God, then what are the consequences? The first consequence of playing God is frustration. Frustration. It's frustrating to try to play a role that you weren't meant to play. Paul talks about this there back in that Romans 7 passage that we read before. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work in my members. The Living Bible paraphrases that passage as, it seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. There's something else deep within me, my lower nature, that's at war with my mind and wins the fight. Paul says there is a war going on inside of me, a conflict, a struggle, a frustration going on inside. And the things that I know I want to do that are right and good and healthy, I end up not doing. And the things that I know are wrong and unhealthy and mess up my relationships, I end up doing. But I can't change, the Apostle Paul said. And we can't change either on our own. I can't stop. I can't control all my problems. It's frustrating. You ever heard of a game called Wacka Wacka? I think it's kind of an old game now, but they used to have it in one of the places that you would go, and you'd take your kids, and little moles will pop up, and you take a mallet to beat them down. You whack one down, and two more pop up. You whack those two down, and three more pop up. And you whack those three, and five more pop up. Folks, that's a parable of life. Face a problem and you whack it down. You solve it and three more pop up. It's so frustrating because you just can't keep up. If you're so in control, how come you can't even unplug the machine? You're not in control. You are not God. The more you try to pretend, you'll be more frustrated. The problems just keep coming at you, and you can't handle them all at once. Point is, you weren't made to handle them all by yourself. Frustration. The second indicator that you're trying to play God is fatigue. Fatigue. When you're always tired, that may be a warning sign that you are trying to play God again. It's tiring playing God and trying to control everything. You see, it's very tiring trying to pretend you've got it all together. Denial requires huge amounts of emotional energy. Energy that could be used in problem solving is actually diverted and used in problem denying and problem hiding and problem avoiding. It's a waste of your energy because it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Trying to hide it increases fatigue in your life. David wrote in Psalm 32, "My strength evaporated like water on a sunny day until I finally admitted all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them." That's the whole point of step one to spiritual health. That's the whole point of the first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Or paraphrased, blessed are you when you admit that you are spiritually helpless. See, denial is as old as Adam and Eve. They sinned, so they hid behind a bush. You know, God made that bush, and they think they're hiding from him. In fact, you might say to someone, have you ever talked to God about that hang-up? And some people will say, I don't want him to know. Who are you kidding? God knows. Stop denying. We hide a lot of things. We hide our fears. We hide our faults and frustrations. And most of all, we hide our feelings. One way we try to run and hide from our problems is by staying busy. If I stay busy, then I don't have to think about that pain, that hurt, my past. And so we stay busy. Now, you can stay busy with a lot of things or some bad things. You can stay busy at work and be a workaholic. You can stay busy at home, even with your family. You can stay busy with hobbies or with sports. You can stay busy with church. You can stay busy with your ministry and helping other people. There's a thousand ways to keep yourself busy so you don't have to think about your pain. If you're always tired and fatigued and out of energy, you just might stop and ask yourself one question. What pain, what problem am I really running from? What pain or problem is driving me to be so busy that I'm tired all the time? Fatigue is an indicator that you are playing God. So you're either denying your sinful humanity or you're trying to control everything that we can. Frustration, fatigue, and then the third indicator that you're playing God is failure. The third consequence of playing God is failure. One job you are guaranteed to fail at, and that's playing God. Solomon said in Proverbs 28:13, he who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. We're going to fail if we try to play God. But since none of us wants to be thought of as a failure, we invest enormous amounts of time and energy in what we might be called image management. Image management. We don't want people to really know what we're like. So we wear masks. I'm not talking about the ones that we're wearing now, but the ones that that we tend to pretend we're something that we're not. We assume roles and we cover up our blemishes. There's an interesting comment that supermodel Cindy Crawford made. She said, even Cindy Crawford doesn't look like Cindy Crawford without 3 hours of makeup and hair. Nobody really looks that good. They have to cover it up and airbrush it all, she said. We don't just cover up our physical blemishes. Worse yet, we cover up our emotional blemishes because those things scare us far more than the way we look. We try to hide all our emotional blemishes. We don't want anyone to see our hurts, the habits, and the hang-ups that mess up our inside. We run around living in denial, and as a result, we suffer frustration, fatigue, and failure. So what's the solution? What's the solution? What is the first step to getting healthy? In the next few weeks, we're going to look at all 8 steps. But the first step to wholeness is to admit that I need God's help. Every day, throughout the day. Stop denial and admit that I need God's help. Admitting that I'm not God means recognizing three facts of life that are true whether I want to admit them or not. First of all, I admit I am powerless to change my past. I'm powerless to change my past. No matter how much I regret it, and no matter how much I may resent it, I cannot change my past. My past is past. It's over. Dwelling on all that regret and resentment just makes me more miserable in the present. I am powerless to change and control my past. Secondly, I admit I'm powerless to control other people. I'm powerless to control other people. I'm not responsible for other people's actions and decisions in my life. I am responsible for me. Responsible means being response-able. Response-able. I am able to respond. You may do something bad to me, but I am able to respond in the right way. That's my responsibility. I am not responsible for all the hurts that you do to me, but I am responsible for how I respond. Excuse me. That's my choice. And then thirdly, I am powerless to change my unhealthy habits because willpower is not enough. Some of you might think, I can do this. I can solve my own problems. No, you can't. If you could, you would have already done it. But since you can't, you won't. You say, this next time is going to be different. It's not going to be different because willpower is not enough. It's not going to be any different because you need God and you need His steps to wholeness. It takes God and His steps to getting healthy. All the willpower in the world isn't going to change you. You'll do okay for a while, but then you will relapse, no matter what it is. And so Paul admitted that he was powerless to change. He admitted his weaknesses, and he was a powerful guy. But he admitted that in 2 Corinthians 1:9, he wrote, "Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." Paraphrased in the Living Bible, it says, "We saw how powerless we were to help ourselves, but that was good. For then we put everything into the hands of God, who alone could save us, for He can even raise the dead." God can do what I cannot do. You might be thinking, my problem isn't that bad. Let me ask you a question. How bad does it have to get before you ask for help? How bad does it have to get before you realize it's beyond your control? It's that dumb habit of human nature that we rarely change until our pain exceeds our fear of change. We rarely change until our pain exceeds our fear of change. Finally, we just deny it until it gets so bad that we get crushed, and then we think, I guess I'd better get some help. Why don't you save yourself a little misery and admit it now? Admit what you're going to have to inevitably admit. You are not God, and you need God because your life is unmanageable without Him. You will learn that someday, if not now. Why don't you just admit it? One guy said this. He said, "The acid of my pain finally ate through the wall of my denial." I like that. The acid of my pain finally ate through the wall of my denial. It's a good analogy. God sometimes uses pain to get our attention. Something is not right in your life. Something is unhealthy. Something is out of whack. Maybe it's a relationship or a habit or a hurt from the past. Something needs to be corrected. Pain is the warning light. So my question is, how's your pain level? Not too bad? Great. Why don't you listen to the lower level emotional pain that you are experiencing now before it turns into massive pain years from now? Some of you are feeling enormous pain now. You feel like you're at the end of your rope. You're at step one. Blessed are those who realize they are spiritually helpless. Or as the Message paraphrase says of the first beatitude, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and His rule. This is why Jesus came to earth. You see, Paul said in Romans 5:6, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus came to earth to give you grace, and His grace is the power to change. It's the power that you don't have. It's the power to change the things that you don't have control of in your life. He offers it to you. So what happens if I come to God and I say, I admit I'm not God, you're God, and I'm not. I've been trying to act like God by denying my sinful humanity, by trying to pretend like everything's under control, but it's not. And I need to ask for your help. Lord, I admit I am helpless. What will happen if I admit that? Isaiah wrote, He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. What a deal. I want to invite you to join together as we take these 8 steps to being whole for these next several weeks. And I want to ask you to take the first step today. For many, this will be the hardest step, admitting it. Admitting it. Why is that so hard? It means being honest and facing up to the issues that you have not wanted to face and have scared you to death. They're so painful and scary. You've been running from them, maybe even for years. It's going to take courage. So that's what I'm going to pray for you right now. I'm going to pray for courage for you. And you can follow me in this prayer. Follow me in this prayer in your mind. It should be up on the screen. Dear God, I want to take the first step to wholeness today. I realize I'm not God. I often try to control things like I was God, and I'm sorry. I've tried to deny my problems by staying busy or doing other things, but I'm not running anymore. Today I'm asking you for help. Please help me get healthy again. I admit that I'm helpless to control this tendency to do things that are unhealthy for me. I humbly ask you to take all the pieces of my life and begin the process of healing. Help me to stick with this process. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Lord, as we prayed that, every one of us need to pray that at some point. Help us, Lord, to trust in you every day. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.